Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. For the past 3 years, BookSmart Tulsa has been bringing new, emerging, and renowned writers to Tulsa for conversation, readings, and unconventional literary evenings. Tonight, the group celebrates its 100th event with former Tulsan Daniel Wilson, author of the science fiction thriller Robopocalypse and his latest, Amped. Today, we'll talk with BookSmart Tulsa founder Jeff Martin on how BookSmart came about and how it represents the new entrepreneurial spirit of the city. Jeff Martin is the online communities manager at Philbrook Museum, a contributor at This Land, and the author and editor of several books himself, including his latest, the late American novel, Writers on the Future of Books. BookSmart's 100th event takes place tonight at 7 o'clock at Dwelling Spaces at 2nd and Detroit. And Jeff Martin joins us today here on Studio Tulsa. Jeff Martin, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in addition to your role at Philbrook and as an occasional commentator here on this station, your main thing is the founder of BookSmart Tulsa, which has been putting on events for several years now. In fact, you'll be celebrating your 100th event tonight. Tell us about how you got the idea of BookSmart Tulsa.
About 3 years ago, bookstores were starting to decline. We were starting to hear about all of these negative stories about the future of books. I had been involved with doing literary events in Tulsa for a while when I worked at Barnes & Noble, and I had been working with great people like Teresa Miller and people like Fran Ringgold and all these kind of literary icons around the Tulsa area, and they'd kind of been mentors to me in some way. But I wanted to do something of my own, so I decided to just go crazy and start this idea where I would do a book club, a citywide book club. That's kind of how it began. And so in April of 2009, we got the top floor of McNelly's Pub, and we started this thing called Book Pub. And we thought books and beer, that's a good mix. You know, our motto in the beginning was, most people like books and beer, but everybody likes at least one. So that we could fit our audience into that motto. But we were very surprised that on our first event, over 400 people showed up, which was very shocking to me. I thought, you know, 50 to 100 people. And basically, we didn't even have an author at that point. It was just people who were wanting to come out and support something literary and do something interesting. And that totally shocked me. And that really laid the groundwork for what came after that.
It's really interesting. You found your own niche, too, between those two models you talked about, the Oklahoma Center for the Books, which does a specific type of fiction. Fran Ringgold and the Nimrod folks do another sort of specific type of fiction. You've sort of found a sort of niche in between those two, between popular titles and literary, almost academic literary. And you sort of found this mix and a new generation of writers.
Yeah, and we did that model originally with the book club model, and it lasted for a few months. And we decided that it wasn't working because most book clubs, most people who have ever been in a book club will realize that it begins with a bang, and then it starts to fade fairly quickly because you're not bringing any new people usually into the mix. So people have life that occurs, and they can't come to the next meeting, and then they end up skipping too. So our 400 people started to dwindle fairly quickly, and I saw that that trend continued. What started out as a great thing was going to end up this kind of wimpy little thing that I didn't want to have any part of. So then the thought that we would do a author series, which would attract different audiences because you're going to have different books. That's where that came in. So in July of that year, we did our first author event at Philbrook Museum of Art with an author named Rivka Galchin, who's a very acclaimed fiction writer, actually grew up in Oklahoma. And that was the kickoff. That was also a big success. And since then, we've had a goal of bringing in, you know, fiction, nonfiction. I tell people I pretty much do any type of book except romance novels. That's just where my autonomy comes into play, and I don't want to do that.
But getting those authors to commit to basically this nonprofit group, and this is the other thing, is usually when a group brings in authors, there's a profit motive. You know, the publisher is going to sell books, the author is going to sell and sign books, somebody's going to make money from gathering all these people to buy books. But this is not how BookSmart Tulsa works.
Yeah, one thing that I always wanted to do, when I travel around, I go to other cities, whether it's New York or Austin or Los Angeles or anywhere, you know, I always try to find fun literary events because that's just the kind of nerd that I am. That's what I do on vacation even. But when I go to those places, 99% of those events are free. And I wanted to make this similar. I wanted it to be free. And we've done that. There's been a couple of events that we've charged for, but even those have gone to nonprofit, other nonprofits to support them, whether it's the food bank or something like that. So we don't take any money at the door. All of our flights, hotels, even most of our meals for these authors are donated from local hotels or restaurants or anywhere like that. The publishers work with us. So we really have a no money out, no money in kind of model, which is definitely very unique. And I think something that really makes it pure in a way and makes it about the people. It's not really even about the books. Other bookstores sell the books, so we don't even sell the books. We're just interested in the community and the event itself. It kind of takes the focus off the business side of it, which makes me more interested in it. It makes it more about the people and the tone of the event.
Now, was it difficult to convince Rivka Gauchin to sort of come here for this sort of, it's this group, you know? It was started out as a book club, and now we're going to create an author series, and it's a group. We had 400 for our first meeting, and was it difficult to convince her to come to Oklahoma on sort of, you know, without a bookstore backing or things like that?
It was, honestly, because, we had no history at that point. You couldn't say, I've had so-and-so and so-and-so, and we've had this many people. So, yeah, it did take a little bit of talking to her. She had just been picked as one of the 20 best living writers under 40 by the New Yorker magazine, so she was kind of a hot commodity. Like I said, she did grow up in Oklahoma, but she hadn't been here in years. She was teaching at Columbia in New York. But here's what's interesting about that. She came. We had a great turnout. And her book is a fairly literary, not a popular, grocery store fiction. But since then, and this is what I loved about it, was we take the relationships to the next level. You know, I'm the fiction editor for This Land Press. Mm-hmm. Since then, she's also become an editorial advisor for that publication. So the relationship grew and even maintained beyond that one single event. So it wasn't just about that. And also, my favorite thing is not just bringing her here, but exposing those authors to Tulsa and exposing the people who live here to them. You know, I think it's in some ways a very reciprocal thing. I want to bring outside people in, expose them to our city, give them somewhat of a curated view of this place, and they always leave impressed.
Yeah, I would think that is one of the great benefits is that people have all these stereotypes if they've never been to Tulsa or to Oklahoma. And when they come to the city, they see a very different picture than probably what they envisioned a lot of times.
Exactly.
Well, so out of that first event, you've put on now 99 other ones. Give us an example of some of the people you brought in. I know you've had some really great events. You've had a little few crazy events over the last few years.
We've had crazy. We've had successful. We've had mind-blowing. One thing, luckily, I don't know if you can hear this, knock on wood, we've never had a dud, which is pretty amazing, in 100 events. We've never had one that was a total failure.
Now, you've had authors that gone missing, though.
I have. I had one event who will remain nameless that was going to be at the Ambassador Hotel. The event was supposed to start at 7 because almost all my events start at 7. We'd had a big crowd waiting, and then all of a sudden 7 o'clock came and went, 7:05, 7:10, 7:15, and we are missing an author. The author shows up, we could say inebriated, that's probably an understatement, and also had forgotten his reading glasses, which when you're doing a reading seems like a fairly important element to remember. And that was probably the least interesting parts of that event. And so we've had a few characters over the years, and that's what's great. I mean, we did an event with Crispin Glover, the
right,
famously eccentric actor that just will go down as legend, I think, in Tulsa probably.
Now, you have to tell us the Crispin Glover story because apparently he lives up to his reputation.
He does. I can tell you the whole story in one thing. In 2005, in the summer of 2005, I had a friend who had seen this one-man show that he does, and he said, you've got to get this guy to Tulsa. He's insane. We need to bring him here. I said, okay, I'll try. So I wrote an email to him via his website and never heard anything until June of last year when I got a response to that original email 6 years later. And the first line says, Dear Jeff, sorry for the long delay in response. And that represents most of it. We ended up doing 2 days here in Tulsa. It was over the 4th of July. At one point, we were on the roof of the Mayo Hotel watching fireworks. The event itself lasted almost 9 hours. well into the morning. It was at the Nightingale Theater, where the air conditioner was broken during the hottest summer on record. I believe it didn't get below 88 degrees in there all night, so people were just sweating. And it was just an insane, insane day. But people stayed, they loved it, and certainly got us some street cred that we were never anticipating.
Yeah, and give us an example of some of the more successful events. I mean, you've had writers that will stay there for hours, literally talking and signing books.
I mean, we've had everybody from Jonathan Safran Foer to Yann Martell, who wrote The Life of Pi, to, you know, even in, you know, we talked earlier about kind of threading the needle between the popular and kind of the more literary. We've had everybody from Eat, Pray, Love author Elizabeth Gilbert to these very great debut novelists or very literary people like Joseph O'Neill, who wrote a wonderful book called Netherland. And we've even done a pool party. We did a literary pool party on the roof of a hotel downtown, which ended up with most of our guests jumping into this pool with their clothes on, you know. And so it's just not the kind of thing you think about when you think of a literary event. And we usually have live music and alcohol, too, which helps.
Yeah. Now, occasionally you do it at Philbrook. You do it at hotels. You do it at dwelling spaces and other sort of local businesses. This is the other part of what you're doing with BookSmart Tulsa is you would expect a reading to take place at a bookstore. You're really taking these events into sort of anti-book atmospheres.
Yeah, we've done... A great example of that would be there's this, you know, everybody knows the pioneer woman, Ree Drummond, who has, you know, kind of taken over the Oklahoma cooking world and the world itself. We did a great event with her at Kane's Ballroom, which, you know, I think that was the first book signing ever at Kane's Ballroom. We had well over 1,200 people in attendance, and we had a country band, and we had food, and we had all these crazy things. And just in about a week or so, on the 19th, we're doing another one there with thriller author Jeffrey Deaver, who wrote The Bone Collector, which was made into a film with Angelina Jolie and Denzel Washington. And in his book, is about a stalker on the trail of a country singer trying to kill a country singer. So I thought, well, where else would we have that except Kane's Ballroom? And honestly, these places give us this space at no cost, which is such an amazing thing, you know.
How do writers react to saying, okay, we're gonna have your reading and signing at a honky tonk or, you know, at a pool party, for example?
Well, the pool party was a harder sell, but Kane's Ballroom.
Now, who was at the pool party?
The pool party was an author named Jake Silverstein, who is the editor-in-chief of Texas Monthly Magazine.
Right.
But, man, he loved it. He loved it afterwards. But here's a great example. Just yesterday, we did an event with a science fiction author named Ernest Cline, who'd written a book called Ready Player One, which is a really acclaimed science fiction book, kind of based in 80s nostalgia. And this guy literally drives a DeLorean around, and that's his main mode of transport. And he was doing a book tour across the country driving this DeLorean. So I thought a perfect place would be the Fab Lab, Tulsa. So we did it at the Fab Lab. He pulled up. We parked his DeLorean out front, opened the doors. We had pizza provided. It was during the lunch hour. We'd never done a lunchtime one before. Joe Mama's Pizza provided us free pizza for everybody and this great venue. And it just became this thing where everything clicked. And that's the kind of experience that we really are interested in.
I would think you probably had people who were just driving down the street, saw the crowd, saw the DeLoreans. Let's stop and let's check this out.
Oh, yeah, because there was, of course, Huey Lewis music from Back to the Future blaring out of it. He actually had a flux capacitor built into the thing. So it was all decked out Back to the Future. And he was actually giving it away. There was a contest you could sign up to actually win the DeLorean. So it was a wild thing, and it was very successful, and it was a new experience. We'd never done one on Monday at noon, you know, but almost 100 people showed up.
You're talking about building this sort of relationship with a lot of these local businesses, too. How important is that to what you're trying to do? I mean, to me, it sounds like you're part of this group, which I've watched sort of develop over the last 10, 15 years of young people who basically, instead of saying, I'm going to leave to find what I want somewhere else, I'm going to stay here in Tulsa and make Tulsa what I wanted to leave for in many regards.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is that,
you're talking about Joe Mama's. I mean, Joe Mama's making a major investment in downtown. Blake Ewing certainly involved in a lot of different things.
I think people, I'm 31, people in my age and a little bit older, I'd say people say 20, there's a group of people here, say age 27 to 40, who have the opportunity to really transform this city. You know, there are organizations like the George Kaiser Family Foundation that through huge investments and certain things are going to transform this city. But then on the other hand, there are kind of individuals and smaller organizations who I feel collectively can have the same sort of impact that a large foundation like that can do. And all of those things working in concert hopefully will change the city for the better in the next 5 to 10 years.
I think it's already changed it for a great deal. I mean, I've had guests who've come here 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they go, I don't recognize this city. I don't recognize this downtown. Don't recognize the community because it's so much more vibrant. There are people on the streets in downtown. There are, you know, new neighborhoods sort of just blossoming within the city and sort of midtown of the city.
Yeah, it's a good time to be here. I tell people that we hear a lot about the Tulsa in like the 70s. You know, everybody wants to talk about when Leon Russell was here and when this was happening or whatever, and Mazeppa and all that stuff. And I feel like, you know, when I was young, I felt like I kind of missed a window of coolness in Tulsa. But now I feel like I'm in probably the best time to ever live here.
So. My guest today is Jeff Martin. He's the founder of Book Smart Tulsa. Book Smart Tulsa doing their 100th event. We're calling it the 100th event. Yeah. It might be 101. It might be 99.
But we tried to do the math, but it's just... It's hard, but yeah, we're pretty sure it is.
And that event is tonight. Daniel Wilson, who also went to school here at the University of Tulsa, I guess he's a native here. His first book, Robopocalypse, was a big hit. It's going to be a Steven Spielberg movie, probably. And his new book is titled Amp. So tell us a little bit about Daniel Wilson.
Daniel Wilson, as you mentioned, went to the University of Tulsa, got his bachelor degree here, then went on to Carnegie Mellon, got a PhD in robotics. So he does know a little bit about the subject. He's written a lot of nonfiction. And then last year, as you mentioned, his first novel, Robopocalypse, came out. And that was kind of about how everything from your cell phone to your laptop can take over, and kind of that HAL 9000 kind of way from 2001, but more of a modern context. And yeah, actually, Steven Spielberg is starting to film that just this fall. That's been confirmed. So that's going to be a big deal. And that book did take place in Oklahoma. Now, certainly not an Oklahoma that we would recognize and certainly don't want to recognize. Hopefully this will not be a prophetic book in any way. But his new book, Amped, kind of takes his robot-loving Oklahoma-set instincts in a new way. And this one's even scarier with a lot more action. So we're going to do that tonight at Dwelling Spaces at 7. And it's kind of cool to be doing this 100th event with an actual Tulsa person, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the book Amped?
A lot of people think it's a sequel to Robopocalypse, but it only is in the fact that, you know, it's about robots and it's in Oklahoma. It's not the same characters. And he certainly is playing I think he's got a niche carved out for himself. This author we had yesterday, as I mentioned, said Daniel Wilson is coming, you know, and I was kind of thinking, you know, this guy was kind of up and coming. But to him, Daniel Wilson was already a superstar. So, and also I think that Daniel Wilson represents this generation you were talking about earlier. You know, he's a young guy. He does not live here in Tulsa, but he comes back and he really sets his books here, which I think sheds a good light on it. Now, I don't know if the film will be shot in Oklahoma, but it certainly will be set here. So we'll just get some of that reflected light that's going on around. And I think it's just as good for us as the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, being in the NBA Finals. All of these things, I think, create this mosaic of attention for us that's good attention rather than being number one on the obesity list or whatever it is. And I think that we could use as much of that as we can get. And people like him do that for us.
Daniel Wilson will be appearing tonight at 7 at Dwelling Spaces, Book Smart Tulsa's 100th event. My guest today is Jeff Martin, the founder of Book Smart Tulsa. What do you have coming up? What are the sort of things you want to do in the future?
We've done a lot of things. We've done a lot of fiction, a lot of nonfiction, some science. I want to do more topical events. I want to do more events that touch on things that are happening now, maybe even some political things. One event that I just booked for October that I think is going to be really compelling is with a guy named Damian Eccles, who is one of a group called the West Memphis Three. In the mid-1990s, these three teenage boys were convicted of murdering three small children in an area called Robin Hood Hills in West Memphis, Arkansas. And it was a fairly gruesome story. A documentary was made by HBO in the mid-90s called Paradise Lost two documentaries followed that, and they're basically are a trilogy, calling into question the case. They became certainly almost like these folk heroes because people were so certain that they had been wrongly convicted. A lot of it was based on, you know, how they appeared, you know, this goth look, listening to heavy metal music, a lot of these kind of circumstantial things. Just last fall, they were finally released from prison after 18 years. Damien Echols was the only one of the three who was on death row. The other two had gotten life in prison. So he was, you know, staring down the end of the barrel for sure. So he's going to come and tell that story. He's written a new book called Life After Death. And I just read it, actually, and it's very powerful. And I think it'll be a conversation that will lead into some really interesting places. So we'll do that. We also have some great fiction people coming up. We have the great writer T.C. Boyle coming in September. You know, Road to Wellville, The Tortilla Curtain. He's written some of the great novels of the last 25 years. He's also a really interesting character. You know, he used to be the lead singer of a rock band in the 80s, and he lives in this amazing Frank Lloyd Wright house. So, I mean, we'll want to talk to him about him as well. You know, we don't like it to just be a straight reading. We want to get into the author's life. We want to talk to them about what they do and how they do it. He wrote a book about Frank Lloyd Wright a couple of years ago also. Obviously, he has an affinity for that man and his work. So that'll be happening. We're looking to bring in Valerie Plame, the CIA agent who was outed a few years ago.
Right.
Just things like that. And food events are probably our most popular thing that we do. Anything with cookbooks. We've done Amanda Hesser from the New York Times. We've done Julie Powell, who wrote Julie and Julia, all kinds of people. And so in August, we're doing a really fun event with the editor-in-chief of Savour magazine. His name is James Osland. He's also a judge on Top Chef. And what's really cool is talking to these people. He grew up in UConn.
Yeah, UConn. I've had him on the show. Yeah. He grew up in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So, and I never knew that. And so he's going to come, and I think what he's going to do is where he's going to fly into, like, Denver or something and drive to Tulsa and hit up some cool spots on Route 66 and eat some good food, and it'll just be a blast. So he'll be a fun one. So a lot of fun things coming up.
Are you getting more businesses that want to be a part of this? I think Dwelling Spaces has been a big part of it. I think Joe Mama's, you've done a number of events there, some of the hotels, certainly the museums, but are you finding other local businesses want to be a part of this? The idea of, you know, that's probably pretty ailing to most business plans. Let's hold, if you're not a bookstore, let's hold a reading, a literary reading in our store in the evening.
Yeah, we do businesses, we do nonprofit venues. You know, one of my favorite things to do is when we go somewhere, and sometimes it's somewhere out, you know. A good example is the Community Food Bank.
You did one at the Community Food Bank,
didn't you? I've done several there, and what's interesting about that is it's not in a part of town that a lot of people go to on a regular basis. You know, it's off of Pine and Peoria, whenever I have a big crowd there, I'll tell people, raise your hand if this is your first time here, and there's always a huge amount of people who raise their hand. And you would think that that number would go down the more I do it, but it just shows that there's new people coming each time. It's always a big chunk of the crowd that does that. And one of my favorite things is exposing these people to these places, you know, because that's an amazing facility. A lot of people don't know it or ever visit there. But these people, once they do, hopefully it puts that on their radar a little bit.
And right.
I always have them bring food to donate, and then maybe next year they'll write a check to the food bank if they have some extra
funds.
Or
when they're in the grocery store and they see somebody raising, you know, money or, you know, a food bag for the community food bank, they go ahead and do that.
Yeah. So those kind of things. Or we'll do something at the Joseph Garrick Art Gallery, or we'll do something at Congregation B'nai Amunah has been a great partner. And, you know, a lot of people, if they're not Jewish, might not have ever been in the synagogue here in town, you know. So those are fun things to expose people to. So getting them out, you know, making you see your city in a new way by doing this rotating thing around the city, that's one of the better parts of it. And people do offer, we get some calls. We've had some odd places even call, you know, places I won't mention, but just wouldn't quite make sense for a book signing. But it's nice that people are offering.
All right. Well, the 100th event takes place tonight. Daniel Wilson went to school here at the University of Tulsa, now a robotics professor and a major science fiction writer. His new book, Amped, will be the 100th BookSmart Tulsa event. Jeff Martin, thanks very much for joining us, and good luck with this great venture for our city.
Thank you.
Jeff Martin, the founder of Booksmart Tulsa, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Booksmart Tulsa will celebrate its 100th event tonight with Daniel Wilson, the author of Amped. The event takes place tonight at 7 o'clock at Dwelling Spaces at 2nd in Detroit, and the event is free to the public. Up next on Studio Tulsa, our commentator on health and medicine, Dr. John Schumann.
It's hard to think of a medical concept, let alone any concept, from the last quarter century that has achieved more traction within our culture than cholesterol. Every patient I can think of, whether rich or poor, old or young, educated or not, knows that cholesterol is bad for you and that you should strive to keep your cholesterol under control, whatever that means. Well, doctors are hammers and we like to hit nails. Surgeons like to do operations. It turns out that the more that they do, the better they get. Primary care docs, such as internists like me, run lab tests. When we see a value that falls outside of norms, we like to do something about it. Unfortunately, this has come to mean almost always writing a prescription. The whole cholesterol hypothesis works very well with this paradigm now that we have relatively safe and effective drugs with which to treat high cholesterol. I'm putting treat in air quotes since high cholesterol, except in rare cases where the cholesterol is sky high in genetic conditions, is not a disease but a modifiable risk factor for vascular issues like heart attacks and strokes. There is overwhelming evidence from the medical literature that people who control their cholesterol with statin drugs like Zocor or Lipitor have fewer vascular events, heart attacks, strokes, etc. This is because the drugs lower the liver's manufacture of cholesterol in the body and alter the ratio of good cholesterol to bad. A lower level of circulating cholesterol helps reduce and stabilize the cholesterol-laden plaques that build up in our arteries, mostly due to our higher-fat, highly processed American diets. I still remember learning about this from a superb lecture I attended more than a decade ago by a Harvard cardiologist. His research demonstrates that statins not only reduce cholesterol in the blood and in arterial plaques, but even reduce the amount of overall inflammation in the blood vessel wall. Some researchers have joked that we should put statins in the water supply since their benefits seem so clear and ubiquitous. Yet, as with all things that become a form of orthodoxy, there are contrarians. Start with those who've had side effects from the drugs, such as liver injury, muscle inflammation, and less specific aches and pains. Some question the long-term effects of being on the medication. Others question the incessant marketing of the drugs and the seemingly ever-expanding indications for prescribing them. Should we be prescribing statins for people without risk factors, even when the cholesterol is not high? It worries me that cholesterol has become the marker of virtue at the doctor's office. It's all due to oversimplification of the physiology and the major societal buy-in to these drugs. For the more competitive patients, the lower the total cholesterol number, the higher the achievement. Never mind that what determines the number is largely genetics mixed with diet and exercise. How big a role does diet play? I admit, having prescribed statins for so long, I was skeptical that lifestyle alone could make a dramatic impact. I ate a vegan diet for a month and dropped my own cholesterol more than 90 points. I was quite surprised. Of course, not everyone can make the lifestyle changes necessary to improve their health profiles. Behavioral change, like all change, is difficult to both initiate and sustain. The statins give us an alternative to making this change. It's just that we're sliding quickly down the slippery slope to pushing them on everyone. When you're a hammer, you like to see nails, even if you have to go out and actively locate more of them.
Dr. John Henning Schumann is our commentator on health policy and medicine. He runs the Eternal Medicine Residency Program at OU School of Community Medicine and is the author of the blog Glass Hospital. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.